Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm speaking today from the words of Jesus as we find them in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear," now make note of that, because there are a lot of people who will not hear and who will not obey the words of Jesus. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Jesus says to you who will hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He, God, is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Today, I'm tackling one of the most, if not the most, difficult passages in the New Testament. These commandments, these spiritual principles and directives that Jesus is giving to us concerning Christian stewardship and conduct, these are not difficult. No, these are not difficult. These are impossible. These are impossible apart from the activity of God. You know, it's one thing to love a fellow neighbor, as I was preaching last Sunday morning. But to love my enemy? There is nothing within me that desires to love my enemy. There is no natural inclination within my sinful human nature that has any desire to love my enemy. I don't want to love my enemy. I want my enemies to be vanquished. Do you remember the Sons of Thunder? A Samaritan village would not receive Jesus and James and John, the sons of thunder. They wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume their enemies. That's the first and natural response. But Jesus said to them, He said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Do good to those who hate you. I don't want to do good to those who hate me. When I'm reviled, I want to revile in return. Retaliation is the natural inclination of my fallen human nature. Bless those who curse you. When someone cuts me off in traffic and they start honking their horn and screaming at me and giving me obscene gestures with their hand, I'm not prone to speak a blessing. Roll down the window. Bless you, sir. Bless you, ma'am. It's more likely that my first response is going to be a negative one. Yes, a soft answer turns away wrath. I know that. I know that in my mind, but that does not come naturally. Here's one I might be able to handle. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Yes, I can do that. Lord, I pray that you would teach those people a lesson they'll never forget. Lord, I pray that they would reap what they sow. They spitefully used Jesus, nailed him to the cross. And he, as our example, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn the other cheek. Many years ago, before I ever came to West Virginia, I was trying to lead this big, burly farmer guy to the Lord, and he looked right at me. He said, Preacher, I just can't get past that turn the other cheek statement. And I tried to explain to him the principle of that statement, which I'm going to get to in this message. But let's just assume here for a moment that it means what a lot of people think it means, that if someone hauls off and punches you in one side of your face, that you as a Christian should gladly offer the other side. Well, let's consider the Apostle Paul, okay? The great Apostle Paul. He was speaking to Ananias, the high priest, and Ananias ordered the guards that were standing over by Paul to strike him. And that's what they did. They struck Paul right in the face. And Paul didn't turn the other cheek and say, hey, go ahead and strike me again. He said in Acts 23, verse 3, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You corrupt hypocrite. That's what Paul said. So what am I saying here? I'm saying this, folks. We need to understand this. Every human being is inconsistent at the very best. But with God's help, can the impossible become possible? Can the flesh yield to the Spirit? Can this principle be applied in practice? I say yes. But to clear up any confusion or misunderstanding here in this most difficult passage, there are three observations that I would like to make. Observation number one, these principles that Jesus is giving to us are directed to individuals, not to corporations and nations. Now you say, can someone in a corporate position or a government position, can they impose these principles on those that are under them? Yes, they could try. But this will only work to the extent that the individual hears and receives these words and obeys them. Jesus said, give and don't ask for anything back. If banks and businesses did that, they wouldn't be in business very long. In fact, in the parable of the talents, the man of one talent of money was scolded because he didn't use the banking system. to gain interest. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. If we as a nation, if we as a collective people had done that during World War II, we would all be speaking German or Japanese. The atomic bomb, as gut-wrenching and horrific as it was, it stopped evil and saved countless lives. We as a nation, we as a collective people could not love the Nazis into surrender. Israel as a collective people cannot love Hamas into a co-equal existence. What I'm saying is that collective evil has to be met with collective force. The Bible teaches that evil has to be punished, and sometimes things can get so evil, things can get so bad that there's no other choice. Even God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there was no choice. And so, what about this turning the other cheek principle as it applies to the individual? What about that? The statement that Jesus made has more to do with insult than physical injury. A backhanded slap was the ultimate, highest form of insult. And so the principle here is, don't return insult for insult. If someone insults you with a slap in the face, let them do it again if they have to. But don't respond in kind. Go the extra mile. I believe that's the principle. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I've been in the ministry a long time. And a wife taking a physical beating from her husband, that is not submission. That is not turning the other cheek. I once heard the story about a young pastor, and he was walking down the street, one of the streets in the little town he lived in, and some guy who didn't even know him just came up and randomly started attacking him. And the young pastor didn't defend himself, and he ended up in the hospital, and then he probably told everyone that he was turning the other cheek. No, that wasn't turning the other, that was being stupid. I say this morning. If you take a physical beating as a result of standing for Jesus, standing for your faith, standing for the gospel, then count yourself worthy to suffer for Him as the apostles accounted themselves worthy. But if someone comes after you to do you harm for no apparent reason, then use your head. Turn the lower cheeks that God gave you and run for your life. At least defend yourself. Look, God didn't call us to be doormats as Christians. I'll let you think about that. Work out your own salvation. Here's a second observation I'd like to make this morning. We seek to fulfill these principles not to be saved, but because we are saved. If keeping all of these commands consistently to the letter of the law, if this is the litmus test to get into heaven, you might as well just go ahead and prepare a room for me in the hot place. Because I acknowledge that I am incapable in and of myself of passing the test. And if you're sitting out there puffed up and you think, yeah, I obey all these and I'm passing, I'm doing quite good, you're giving yourself an A, I want to meet you after the service because there are a lot of things I want to borrow from you. Okay? You have to think about that one, I guess. A lot of people are deceived into thinking that if they just keep the golden rule and they're good enough and they're kind enough, that they'll gain entrance into heaven. But the Bible says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship. See, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Folks, these are not requirements for salvation. They are the result of salvation. And don't miss what I'm saying here. Look, listen to me. These are God-like characteristics beyond human effort. They lead us to our own failure. These statements that Jesus made, they lead us to our utter dependence upon Him. The law is a tutor to lead us to Christ. It shows us that we stand condemned apart from Him, that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And so you see, it's not my righteousness, it's His. It's not my effort and my own strength and my own flesh, it's the Holy Spirit. It's that agape love through the Holy Spirit working through me. It's not me, it's Jesus in me that enables me to love my enemies, to do good to those who hate me, to bless those who curse me, and to pray for those who spitefully use me. The more Jesus in me, the more apt I am to fulfill these. You see, if we could do these on our own, we wouldn't need the cross, would we? But folks, don't miss this. The cross is Jesus loving His enemies. The cross is Jesus turning the other cheek. The cross is Jesus giving and being kind to the unthankful and evil, the unthankful and the wicked. That includes all of us, because we were all at one time on the other side of the cross. And you, He made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But here it is, God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. He first loved us. But God demonstrates His love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Praise God. Here's the last point and observation that I would like to make in this message today that pretty much sums it all up. As Christian believers, we go the extra mile to reflect the character and the nature of God. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, so what? What credit is that if you love those who love you? What points are you scoring if you love those who love you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, how is that any different from the world? Even lost sinners out there, they do the same. If you give to give back, that's what anyone can do. But Jesus is saying, hey, you're my disciples. You're the people of God. Love your enemies. And that's interesting when it says love your enemies, because Jesus wasn't talking about some warm, fuzzy feelings that we have to conjure up. He's talking about active behavior. Go above and beyond That's what he's asking us to do, to go above and beyond as he did for us. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. I've been talking for a few months now about loving God, loving people. Here's the thing today. If I err, I want to err on the side of grace and mercy. If I see you, just say I see you really messing, you really blow it big time in your life. Some major moral failure. You just mess up. I can't gloat over that or make myself better in comparison. You know why? Because I remember what God did for me when He had mercy on me, when He forgave me of my sins. And because of that, I therefore extend mercy to you. And not only mercy to you, I want to extend mercy to my enemies. This passage that I began with, I stopped at verse 36. The next two words, you know what the next two words are in that passage? Judge not. And you see, I can't judge you because when I measure my own life with these principles and these commandments that Jesus gave, I realize that I need His mercy. And I need to extend that mercy to others. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should go around making excuses and it doesn't matter. No, we ought to be striving to be obedient to God. We ought to endeavor to be what we need to be for God. But if we fail, we say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is, I believe, what I'm speaking on today. This is what distinguishes a Christ follower from the rest of the world. You know, the world religions and philosophies, they had their own golden rule. They had a golden rule, and it was always in the negative. Don't do. That was the thing. Don't do. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to yourself. But you see, that could be translated into, hey, I'm not going to do anything. You just you leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. But Jesus changed everything. This was so radical. When He said, love your enemies, bless those who curse, this was radical. He changed everything. Jesus turned the world system upside down, or you might say right side up. Because, you know, it's no longer revenge. The world operated on a system of revenge or even equal justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's not even don't do to others. It's not even that. His golden rule is positive. His golden rule is do. Do. Do to others what you would like done to yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is positive action. I'm going to close here with this. You know, you'd say, I said these were impossible commands. Yes, they're impossible if we try to do them in and of ourselves. But all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And I close with this. Look at this. Here's my challenge to you today. As a Christian believer, here's my challenge. Imitate God. Imitate God. Don't try to see how close you can get to the world and what you can get by with and go through life making excuses. No, imitate God in everything you do because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.